Acts chapter number 10 and verse 23. The Bible says, "Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." Think about that now. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, 'Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me.' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Father, we come before you, Lord, ask you to open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, help us to see the truths that are here, Lord. And God, that we're looking forward to that day, God. I can't wait for the day I get to see you face to face. But Lord, I pray that that day I bring people with me. God, that there's going to be others going to heaven because of my faithfulness to you and my faithfulness to share your gospel, to be a witness, Lord. Please just help us to be like Peter here, to stand in your stead, Lord, as your representatives, as your ambassadors, Lord. Please help us to do that. Empower us, give us your grace, Lord, to speak your words to people, Lord. Fill us with your spirit, please. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh, how we need a desperate filling of the Spirit of God. We need him to work in our midst. When you see that the temple in the Old Testament, every time there was a temple and it was dedicated, it was filled with the Spirit of God. And you could see the same thing happen on the day of Pentecost with the Lord's church. It was filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what we want to continue. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. We want to see God work in our midst. We need to see God work in our midst. We want to see God working like we see right here. It doesn't always mean it's something crazy, miraculous, but just that God is sending us to go talk to somebody else, to share the message of salvation to one soul, to just one soul. God cares about just one. And we could be the faithful vessel to go tell them, just like Peter was. Peter had to go against his natural objections. He didn't want to go. And he says, "Hey, God is showing me some things. God hath showed me that no man is common or unclean." And if we would have kept reading in verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" See, God was teaching Peter that. Peter didn't always realize that. He thought God was partial to some people and impartial to others, and that's not how it is. He's no respecter of persons. He wants everybody and all to get saved. We have a responsibility. Salvation is for anyone not found. It's for anybody, and salvation is not found in a family connection, in your position in society, or your race. It is only found in Jesus Christ. Salvation is for anyone. As a servant of the Lord, you must be ready to share the gospel with anyone God places in your path. Ask yourself, are you ready right now to share the gospel with anybody God places in your path? You say, "I'm ready." Okay, then are you willing? We can be ready. We can have all the information, all the knowledge. But are you willing to do it? Because the time will come, if you say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me, Lord, use me." Then God's going to do it. But there's going to come that time then when he says, "Here it is right now." And are you going to open your mouth? Because it's hard. It's hard. Or you'll kind of just soft pedal it and not say what he's leading you to say, so you can kind of soothe your conscience. Are you ready to share the gospel with anyone that God places in your path? You see, Peter was himself prepared spiritually. Peter was ready. See, he was walking with God like he should. Are you walking with God like you should? Are you walking with God how you should so that you can be ready? So you can say, you know, I've been praying. I've been feeding myself on the Word of God. I know what to say. I'm seeking souls. I am ready. I'm prepared spiritually. I'm meditating on the Word of God. I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about what God wants. How many of us say that's our thoughts, or are your thoughts always about you and the things of this world that are vanishing? Vain, empty, meaningless stuff. I say that's probably the majority of our thoughts, of your thoughts. Peter was prepared spiritually. Remember, he went up on that rooftop to pray. So how is your walk with God? Do you read your Bible daily? Are you praying daily? Think about this. Are you seeking God's guidance regularly throughout the day to help you walk in the Spirit? Are you asking God, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? God, how should I respond in this situation? God, I'm going to run into these people at work. Will you give me an open door to share the gospel with them? How can I talk to them? God, I'm going to see my family members that I want saved, that I love, that I care about. Lord, give me an open door to witness to them and give me the boldness to say something. Are we preparing? Are you ready? Peter was prepared. Are you? I like this. Even before his salvation, Cornelius was seeking God and looking to bring others to the Lord. Even before he was saved, he was seeking the Lord and he was looking to bring others to God. In verse 24, it says, "And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." Look at verse 27. "And as he talked with him," Peter and Cornelius are talking, "he went in and found many that were come together." See, Cornelius is already trying to bring people to the Lord. See, you can do that. You can do that. You can bring people to Jesus. You can do that. You can be the one to bring it, to mention him. You can ask me to talk to them, or you can bring them here. That's what Cornelius was doing. He was bringing people to the Lord. He brought many family and friends to hear the message from God's servant. Even if you don't know what to say, you can bring somebody to hear the message at church. A simple invitation to church is sometimes all that's needed. Can we do that? Can you do that? Can you put yourself in that position? Just grab some tracts and just give it to coworkers, give it to family, give it to friends. Say, here, come visit our church. The service times are on the back, and there's a good Bible study in there. Or nothing. Just people will read it. Just be like, here's an invitation to our church. We would love for you to come. Come check us out. Just that simple. We need to get to where we are really, where we're soul conscious. Where we're soul conscious. If we truly want to see souls saved, then we're going to be looking to see souls saved. We're going to be looking for souls. We're going to be looking for ways to witness to people. We're going to be looking for opportunities. You know, how many times do you waste an opportunity when you're at a restaurant and you could witness to your server? Witness to the cashier. I mean, there's always opportunities. Checking out at the grocery store, there's someone you can witness to. Give them a track. Give them a track. And the great thing about these, I love this. I heard this probably 15 years ago. But these keep preaching even when you're done. These are always preaching. They never get their feelings hurt. They're never ashamed. They're never embarrassed. They're always preaching. Just hand them out. Give them out. We've got a box full. If you want some after the service, say, "Pastor, can I get some tracts?" I'd be happy to give them to you. Hand them out. It's that simple. If we want to see souls saved, the only thing we have to do, and I love this about God, is just do our part. We just have to do our part. We let God worry about all the other details. Peter doesn't know everything that we knew right here. He didn't know that an angel had showed up to Cornelius and told him, hey, go send for this Peter. All Peter knew was that, hey, I'm going up to pray. I'm here at my friend Simon's house, and you know, it's almost time to eat, but I'm going to go ahead and go pray. I'm pretty hungry, so let me just go up on the roof and pray. And then God speaks to him and says, hey, here, let me show you something, Peter. You see all these clean and unclean beasts just kill and eat. Oh, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has come into my lips ever. From the time I've been a child, nothing's ever come into my lips unclean. And God showed him that three times. And then all of a sudden, hey, Peter, three men seek thee. There's three men looking for you. Go with them, doubting nothing. That's all Peter knew. He doesn't know anything about Cornelius. He doesn't know what Cornelius has gone through. He doesn't know that these men were sent a day or two before, ahead of time, to go get him. He has no idea about any of that. All he's doing is his part. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. You just have to do your part. What's your part? Hey, it might be this Saturday just leaving an invitation on somebody's door. It might be this Saturday sharing your testimony with somebody. It might be tomorrow at work and giving someone a track, a gospel tract, an invitation to church to come visit us. That just do your part. You know what else it might be? You know what else your part might be? Living up to the name of Jesus Christ tomorrow at work. That might be your part for right now, because in 6 months, you may be inviting them and they've been watching you. It'll amaze you if you just live for Jesus Christ. People will begin to know when hard times come in their life, they'll come to you to talk to you about it. Because they know that you're the God person, whatever they're going to word it. They're going to know that about you. And they'll come to you because they know you might have some answers. And guess what? You do. You have the answer. Jesus is always the answer, right? Jesus is the answer. All you've got to do is your part. Peter was obedient to the vision and instruction to go with the visitors. And Cornelius, he was faithful to send and ask for this Simon Peter and where he was at. He did his part. He did his part. Now, sometimes it's not as clear as it was for Cornelius, for a lost person, but sometimes their part is simply just walking through those doors. Do you know how hard it is sometimes for people to walk through those doors? Do you know the fight and the battle that they're having to walk through those doors? That's why we have to be such a friendly church. We have to encourage people when they come here. We have to genuinely be happy to see them come through those doors, because we don't know what they're overcoming. We don't know. I'm telling you right now, there's a spiritual battle going on. There is spiritual warfare that we don't recognize because we can't see it, but we need to know and understand that it's there, because the devil does not want people walking through those doors, because he knows what message they're going to hear in here. He knows that the hope of salvation is what they're going to hear about in here. He knows that Jesus Christ is going to be preached, that Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Jesus said that, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to be lifted up here. He's going to be magnified. And if those people come in and they hear the gospel, then guess what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ can shine on them and bring to light all that darkness and send the darkness fleeing because of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and those people can get saved. So they're fighting just to walk through those doors. So we've got to do everything we can to encourage them once they're here, to make them feel welcome, to talk to them, to start a conversation with them. Ask them about, oh, how'd you hear about it? Whatever. Just encourage them. The battle just to get through the door. And now think about that when we go and we witness to people and we're inviting them, and how difficult it's going to be. I'm telling you, so many things will come up when it's time to go to church. When people set in their mind, we're going to go to church, so many things will pop up. There will always be a reason not to go to church. Okay, let me just tell you. There is always going to be a reason. If you want a reason not to go to church, I'll tell you right now, you're always going to have a good reason. Okay, you will always have a good reason not to go to church. I've heard them all. I have heard them all. I've heard every lie you can think of to my face, just about. Maybe not everyone, but I've heard most of them. I mean, people will tell you everything.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Okay. And then he says, hey, we missed you. Oh, well, this is how. I'm like, it's all right. You don't need to explain. Just hope you come this week. But I'm telling you, there will always be an excuse not to be in church. If you want it, it's there. You can find it. People are fighting that. You know sometimes that you fight to come, don't you? Or is it just me? Really, it's just me. Oh, man, I got to get right with the Lord. I'm just kidding. I know it's not just me. But now think about someone who's maybe they're saved, but they're backslidden. They haven't been in church in a while. Do you know how hard it's going to be for them to come back? Or someone that's lost and doesn't know the Lord, and they're like, I don't know this. They don't know our church from any other church. It's church. They don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between a community church and a Catholic church and a Presbyterian church and a Baptist church. It's just a church to them. They don't have a clue other than what they grew up with, if they grew up with anything anymore. And so they're fighting that just to get here. This is why our prayer is so important as we pray for souls and we're praying, God, help us. We need to earnestly, we need to get a zeal for that and earnestly pray for souls to be saved. We have to start doing that, because when we're here in prayer, this is spiritual warfare. We're fighting back. We're fighting back and we're saying, God, you know, back off these devils. Push these devils back from these people so that when we're there, God, the message can get through and they will have the want to. They won't get, you know, as the seed of the word of God is sown, it won't go into stony ground and the birds of the air fly and pluck up the seed and it's gone. That's the devil coming and doing that. We don't want that happening. God, help us. God, go before us. God, prepare these hearts. Bring these people in, Lord. Bring them in, God. All you have to do is your part, though. The witnessing, the faithfulness, the learning. We need to learn. You need to know how to share the faith. But let me say this, even if you're just saved, if you just got saved yesterday, you can share your testimony. You can share your testimony. And that's powerful, and no one can deny that. They can say, I don't believe you, but they can't deny it. They don't have to believe what you say, but when you're standing there telling them, Jesus changed me, he saved me, he forgave my sins, the burden of sin is off of me now. Whatever your testimony is, but Jesus saved me, he changed me. I can tell you right now, Jesus changed me. He changed me. Susan that's been visiting, she lived across the street from us. She still lives in the same house, but when I was 20 years old, we bought that house, and my wife was pregnant with Desiree, and Janessa was like 1 and a half, and we lived in that house just down the street from here on Edith. And my wife and I were talking about it because I told her, I saw her address, and I was like, she lived across the street from us. And then we found out she was, you know, she bought that house brand new, her and her husband, and we bought the other house brand new right across the street from them. And we were talking, and she was like, man, I hope she don't remember too much about us. We weren't saved. You know, we were not good. And I got saved in that house. That's where I got saved. I lived there when I got saved. God changes people when he saves them. He makes a difference. That's what salvation does. God loves us too much to leave us the same. He's still working on us. He's still working on you. And you have your testimony. You can say, I'm not perfect. Oh, but he changed me. He saved me. I never in a million years desired to be a preacher. Never. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with church. The church I knew was Catholic Church, and it was boring, and I got nothing out of it. I didn't understand a thing that was going on when I was in Catholic Church. I just knew when this was happening, I'm like, oh, great. Everyone's standing up to go get the host. We're almost done. That's what I knew. I was like, we got like 5-10 minutes left. Yes, we're almost done. I remember it being so boring. That's what I knew about church. That was my idea about church. Will you be obedient to the Spirit's leading in your life? All you need to do is fulfill your role and trust God to do the rest. In Jonah 2:9, the Bible says, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." And then he makes this statement, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. God does it. He's chosen to use us in that mix, but we don't save anyone. We have zero power to save somebody. Only God can save a soul. Only God. He's the one that saves them. We basically just bring them to the water of life and we say, there it is. We bring a thirsty soul to the water of life and say, there he is. That's all we're doing. We don't save them. We're just like, hey, that's where I got my fill. That's where I got my soul refreshed. You can do the same thing. There he is for you. So are you going to be obedient to the Spirit's leading in your life? That's the thought that I want to leave us with this evening is, are you going to yield yourself to God's Spirit as he speaks to your heart, as he guides you and as he leads you? And I'm going to tell you, he's going to do that through his word. How is your walk with God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you hearing from God? Are you praying? Are you talking to him? Are you asking him to guide your steps, to help you to make the right decisions and in everyday simple things, in the way you respond in a certain situation? Even though we don't know what situations are going to come, but are we asking God, God, help me to respond properly to this situation, to whatever situations I'm going to face today. Lord, help me to represent you well. Help me to have a good testimony. God, as I go about my day, that when something happens, when I get frustrated, that God, I keep my testimony and I represent you well. These are the things we want to do. We want to ask God, God, help me. God, guide my steps. Hey, Lord, what should I do right now? I'm coming up to this situation. God, please help me. Lord, maybe it's help me. God, show me how to make people feel welcome when they walk through that door. God, what can I personally do to make somebody feel welcomed when they walk through that door? There are things that you can do to make people feel welcome when they walk through the doors. Do it. Ask God. Say, God, how can I be that? And you might be uncomfortable doing that. Remember, that's kind of where we want to be, an uncomfortable position. You might be uncomfortable, but do it. You never know how it's going to touch somebody. You know, one thing I heard recently was something along these lines was, be kind to everyone because, you know, basically everyone's having a hard time because we don't know what everyone's going through. You don't know, even if someone's throwing you an attitude and they're, maybe it's a waitress or something or a waiter or whoever it is, and they're just being rude to you. You know, maybe they just got bad news. Maybe they just heard one of their parents has cancer or something, or one of their children's sick with something or whatever, that they don't have the money for rent this month. I mean, who knows what it is? We don't know. Just try to be kind to people. Be kind to everyone because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know how hard things are for them. And it's through that God opens doors. See, when we ask ourselves, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, do you think he'd have an attitude with them or do you think he'd be kind to them? I think 9 times out of 10, if they're not a Pharisee or a Sadducee, he's going to be pretty kind to them because that's what we see in the scripture. That's what we see in the gospels. That's how he responded to people. So that should be then how we are striving to respond to people. Maybe we've trained ourselves not to respond that way. Then we need to start practicing doing it a different way. Why? Because if we care about souls, then we're going to do these things because we are his ambassadors. We're standing in his place, representing him to a lost world. If we just respond how everybody else responds, I mean, if someone, you know, did something that would make the typical person mad and the typical person would respond by saying something rude back, then is that how we as Christians should respond? You know, as I said that right there, if God just smote me about something I said at the grocery store today. I've just had a bad attitude towards somebody that had a bad attitude towards me. So I'm like, well, she did it first, so I'm going to do it back, right? Okay. Is that how Jesus would respond? No. 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 This is what I'm talking about. We need God working in our lives. This is when Christianity becomes real. We need God working in our lives so that we can help others, so we can bring people to Jesus. Just kindness in and of itself will open doors for us to bring people to Jesus, to point them to Him. Will we be yielded? Will you be yielded to the Spirit of God? Tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Father, we love you.